When I was young, when I first started learning how to drive, there was one thing that everybody had in their cars that many of us today don't have at all. They're called maps. And I wish I had one to show you, but they don't make them anymore. But these maps are huge maps, and they're folded. So they're about this size, but you have to kind of unfold them, and then they turn out to be this big map of your city. Now, depending on the size of your city, you're going to have several maps available in your car, because if you need to go to a certain location, you're going to need to have that particular map of that area of your city. So again, we're blessed today. We have phones, we have GPS, but can you imagine if you don't have any of that and you have to pull out one of these maps? So for example, if I wanted to go look for our church, the address of our church is 11118. How many ones did I say? There's four ones and then eight, Dessau Road. So then first of all, I have to go pull out one of these maps. And because of the size of our city, I'm assuming there's at least probably three or four. They're probably divided into sections. So I probably have to look for the northeast Austin map, take it out, unfold it. And on one side of the map is the actual map of the city with all the streets. All the streets. And then on the other side, you have to turn it over, all the names of the streets. And they're all in alphabetical order. So this is what you have to do. Now you have to go look the section where there's all the streets that have the letter D's. Now you have to find Dessau Road. So now you're reading it. Now you have to find the number, 11118 Dessau Road. So now you're looking at this list. And really small print, you find it, you're like, oh. Now you realize that your map is actually a grid. So it'll probably, I don't know, say like E26. E26, remember that. Now you have to turn the map over. Now you have this huge grid in front of you. Now you have to look for E26, and there's a box. Dessau Road is somewhere in there. 11118 is somewhere in there. Now you're looking to figure out what Dessau Road is. Now you find it. Oh, it's this little line right here. But you're not done, because now you have to figure out where you are, right? Oh, man, I'm over here in the northwest side of Austin. Now I have to get all the way here, and now you have to get a piece of paper. Now you have to write down every single street, every single highway that you're going to pass to make sure you get to 11118 Dessau Road. So for me, I would probably have to go number one, 183 South, number two, exit Breaker Road, number three, make a left on Breaker Road, four, pass Mopac, number five, pass I-35, number six, pass the street, pass the street, pass the street, pass the street. Oh, then it ends, Breaker ends on Dessau, make a right. You're literally writing down your directions, and hopefully you got it right. And once you get it right, now you have to hold on to that piece of paper while you're driving. The funny thing is, it worked. The funny thing is, if you're good at it, all of this information will help you get to your place. Is it cumbersome? Sure, in light of what we have now in terms of our smartphones and GPS, but it works because you have all the information necessary to get to where you want to go. Now let me ask you this. What if I called you up one day and I said, Annie, I'm in trouble. You need to come find me. I'm hurting and I think I'm going to die. And her question is, where are you? And I said, I'm in Austin. Click. What would she do? I think the first thing that comes to her mind is Austin. The city's huge. There are thousands of streets, thousands of residences, thousands of businesses. But he sounded like he's in trouble. He sounded like he's going to die. I got to find him. But where? If I called you up and I left that message and I said, I need you to come find me. I need you to come get me. I am in trouble. Then I hang up, what would you do? You see, I think for the vast majority of us, we're not going to do anything. Meaning, I don't think you're going to be going down to your garage, opening your garage, get into your car, drive out, and start to look for me. Because there is no way in the world you're going to find me. No way. It's impossible. Because you don't have the information necessary to come look for me. You see, we're shaped and molded and created to respond based on what we know, right? And that's true. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's how we function. That's how we operate. If you have the information that you need to get something done, to go to a certain place, to instruct or teach someone, if you have this knowledge, you are able to do it. And you're able to do it well. But what happens when you are placed in a situation where you no longer have that information? Where you all you have is a command from someone telling you to go and find them. Or you have a command from someone that tells you to just go. To just go. If I told you right now, get off your seat, get dressed, get out of your house, get out of your apartment, and start driving. Just drive. How many of you right now would get off your couch and just start driving? Nobody. Nobody would. Because there's no instructions, no direction, no information, nothing that I'm offering you, except I'm asking you or I'm telling you to go. None of you will go. We are not made to move in the unknown. In fact, it's one of those things where we pause and we say, nah, I'm not sure if that's what I want to do. So the question is, what if God calls us to move to the unknown? What would you do? What if you know your life so well? You know how you live. You know how you operate. You know what is needed to make sure that your life is moving day by day. And all of a sudden God says, I want you to tweak something. I want you to change something. And then you realize, wait a minute. Well, that's going to change everything. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what is expected of me. I don't know what I need to do. And God says, that's okay. I'm with you. Just go ahead and move. Would you move? In Hebrews chapter 11, we've been going through this series called Thrive. The idea is, how do we live by faith instead of living in fear? And one of the things that causes great fear in our lives is the unknown. When we have no idea what we're looking at, we have no idea where we're going, and we have no idea what the consequences may be. We tend to move in fear when we get to those situations. But what happens when God calls us to live by faith instead? In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 8, it says this, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He went out not knowing where he was going. How many of us go out not knowing where you are going? It's a great rhyme there. Not knowing where you are going. How many of us live like that? Most of us don't. Most of us do not just do something without knowing what we are doing. We're not just going to go somewhere without knowing where we are going, how we're going to get there, what transportation do we need? What hotels we need to book? All this kind of stuff. We just don't do it. So when we come to a verse like Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, and it says, Abraham by faith went out not knowing where he was going. What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us as a church body? What happened to Abraham? Go to Genesis 11, and we're going to start there. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to start reading in verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah, in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Verse 31. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now for Abram, what about his life did he know? What about his life did he know and was comfortable with? Well, we learn a lot of things about Abram in just these few verses here. First of all, we know that his father's name is Terah. Terah had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. We also know that Abram was the oldest son, just by the order of the names. And if you are the oldest son in the ancient times in this culture, you are called to follow in the footsteps of your father. That was the role that was given to you. So we know that as well. We know that this was a patriarchal society. So the father makes the decision for the entire family. And that's why we see Terah when he, in verse 31, when he decides to move, everyone moves. Like I said, Abram especially is the one son that has to move wherever Terah goes because he is the oldest son. He will receive most of the inheritance, including the business, the family business. And back then, it seems like Terah and his family were agriculture, shepherd, livestock kind of people. In many ways, they're kind of like nomads. They will go from one place to another so that their livestock can find food. So Abram had to go wherever Terah went. We find out that they also settled together as kindred, which is very important. In that culture back then, it's not just your immediate family, but your extended families will tend to live together. Why? It's very important that they want to build up the same worldview, the same value system, the same customs, the same culture. So for Abram, the way he understood life is the way all of his relatives understood life. And that was very important. You stay together. You stick together. You grow up together. You understand life together. Family is very important, obviously. And when Haran, Terah's youngest son, died, Lot was taken care of by Terah. When Terah decided to leave, he also took Lot. You see, you don't just say, well, it's not my problem, I'll just let him go. No, you have to receive your family members into your household if something happens to their parents. Even Sarai. It's pretty amazing how Terah saw Sarai. Sarai was Abram's wife, his daughter-in-law. But we find out here that Sarai was barren. And that's an important piece of information to know because they're very much agricultural, a shepherd kind of a family, there's a lot of labor, a lot of work that needs to be done. Having kids is very important. The more kids you have, the more you have to help you in your family business. Well, Sarai was barren. She could not have any children. So because Abram and Sarai could not have children, that's going to be very difficult for them to lead their family business. And yet, Terah does not ignore her. In fact, the way Sarai was described in this passage, it says in verse 31, Sarai was Terah's daughter-in-law first, Abram's wife second. That's important. Because again, somehow Terah decided she is still part of the family. She is still part of us, even if she may not be able to give birth, which is again, very significant in that culture. She is part of us. That's Abram's life. That's what he knows. That's how he operates. Each and every day, he knows who he is. This is his identity, and this is how he's going to respond to his identity. So when Terah, in verse 31, decides, you know what? I'm going to move on. Abram, his oldest son, has to move with him. Lot went along. Sarai, obviously, Abram's wife, moved along. And together, they all moved from Ur to Haran, and they settled there. Those are things that are known. We know our lives. If I ask you, what is your life? You're probably going to describe it in a similar way. You're going to tell me how you operate. You're going to tell me who you are. You're going to tell me what you do. You're going to tell me who your family members are. You're going to tell me what your hobbies are. Those are your customs. Those are your culture. That's your worldview. Those are your values. That's who you are. That's what you know. And you're good with it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what if God comes into the picture? God comes into the picture in chapter 12, verse 1. Prior to chapter 12, we have no text that says that God has been talking with Abram. We have no passages that says that God has been leading Abram and his family. But for the first time in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, after Terah passes away, after Terah no longer is leading his family, now the Lord speaks, and the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He said, when we're thinking through about what it means to move to the unknown, moving from the environment or the situation that we are comfortable in, that we are secure in, that we understand fully and completely, and then God speaks to us, and God says, you know what? I have something for you that's a little different, but it's going to mean you have to get out from where you know yourself the best and start moving away from that. See, for many of us, that's where we pause, and that's where we ask ourselves, oh, this is a little different. This is a little strange. I'm not really sure. I don't have all the data necessary. Where are we going again, God? But you see, the difference between what was read in chapter 11 and what we are reading here in chapter 12 is this. It's the voice. It's the voice. See, in chapter 11, Terah was speaking. It was a human being speaking. It was a human being directing. It was a human being instructing. But see, it switches in chapter 12 when all of a sudden it's God's voice that's speaking. It's God's voice that's directing. And now you hear the two voices and they're radically different. One speaks out of the known. One speaks out of what is comfortable and secure and safe, what we know. And the other voice is saying, I want to take you to another place that is unknown to you, but is known to me. See, that's the faith that we need to have. It's when we think God is taking us somewhere where it's so dangerous and difficult and we're not sure. But be sure of this. Faith in God will tell us that though we may think that new environment is unknown, God knows it. God knows it. And God knows you're going to thrive in that area. God knows you're going to flourish in that area. But it's going to take faith to trust in this God to move into the unknown that is actually known by the Lord. What kind of faith do we have? Even in this instance, in this situation that we have, things already look unknown to us. We're not sure what's going to happen the next day. We're not going to show what's going to happen the next month. But yet God knows. God knows what tomorrow looks like. God knows what next week is going to look like. God knows what next month is going to look like, what next year is going to look like, what 10 years from now is going to look like. God sees beyond what we are able to see right now when it comes to the COVID-19. And he's telling his church this. The faith that you need to have is the kind of trust. To trust in me, to lead you, to guide you, to take you to a place where all of this that you're experiencing right now, I am going to redeem for my glory. And I need to take you to a place where you're going to be a part of this, where you're going to be part of this redemption, where you're going to be part of this restoration, where you're going to be part of this healing church. But it's going to take God. It's going to take his voice, not ours. It's not going to take our wisdom. It's not going to take our knowledge. It's not going to take our own understanding of this world. It's going to take God. And it's going to take the kind of faith to believe in this God who is leading us to the unknown, who is leading us to a place where full redemption is going to take place, because he knows what's going to happen. So church, for us to thrive, we need to have that kind of faith. We need to understand we have to be careful in the voice that we're listening to. Because right now, right, our own voices are telling us, oh, we need to, you know, be fearful. We need to be in doubt. We need to question. Oh, wow, I just lost all my 401. I just lost all my retirement. I just lost all my savings. I'm doomed. See, that's what our voice will tell us. And yet God's voice will say, hey, got something to tell you. I want to take you somewhere. I want to lead you somewhere. It's going to go beyond what you can comprehend. So what is our response? Verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Abram obeyed. Can't sugarcoat verse 4. Can't make it easier or make it any harder. It says, Abram went as the Lord had told him. That's it. It's kind of like what I expect my kids to do when I tell them to do something. Yes, sir. And they do it. See, God expects us to respond in that way too. The Lord says to Art, the Lord says to ACC, go, because I'm going to take you to a place that I know of, and I'm going to show it to you. I am going to reveal it to you. I am going to demonstrate what it looks like in your life. You see, the life you currently know now that is bringing you down, that is an obstacle to you, that you are more worried about other things in life than faith in me, I want to take you out of that to a place that I'm going to show you, because you're going to thrive. You're going to flourish. And Abram said yes, and he goes. What's the response to moving to the unknown? You just say yes to God. Nothing more to that. You say yes, and you do it. And what are the three things that you need to give up? Or three things that you need to change in your life for this to happen, besides saying yes? First, you need to leave your identity. You need to leave the very identity that you created for yourself, the very identity that brings you satisfaction, the very identity that you molded and shaped to bring you happiness. You got to leave that. Abram had to leave his country. Abram had to leave his kindred. Abram had to leave his father's house. Everything that made Abram who he was at that very moment, God is saying, you got to let those things go. Because from now on, your identity is going to be shaped and molded by me. And church, in the midst of the situation that we are in now, God is saying, gotta leave the identity that you have been shaping in your life. Because you know why? When that's crumbling and that's falling apart, what does that do to you? Your identity is not found in your career, in your achievements, in what you have accomplished. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. And that identity's mission is redemption. It's redemptive. It's restoration. It's healing. It's fulfillment. It's completion. That is what Jesus is, having our identity in Jesus looks like. It's the first thing you need to give up. Second thing that you need to change in your life, you will be a blessing to others. You see, in light of where we are now, it's so easy to just focus on ourselves. It's so easy to say, oh, I got to take care of myself. I got to make sure I stockpile all this. I got to make sure that I'm protected. I got to make sure that this and that and that and this. First thing we need to realize in God's mission as he takes us out of this is this. You are going to be a blessing to others. Abram, you're going to be a blessing to others. I'm going to make you into a great nation, and so many people are going to be blessed by you. And if you study the life of Abraham, you will see that. Lastly, you're all in. You're all in. Again, in verse 5, and Abram took Sarai, he took his family, he took Lot, and he took all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired, and they set out. You see, this is not the kind of jumping in where you're halfway in and halfway out. Oh, let me try it and see if it's too cold, if it's too hard, if it's too hot, or whatever it is. Oh, don't like it? I'm getting out. No, this is full-blown. You're jumping in. You are trusting in the Lord for all these things. You see, church, we are in a moment in human history where God is challenging us to move to the unknown. We are in this very moment. And you are making decisions each and every day that will determine whether you are just settling in your own identity that you have crafted and molded for yourself, or you're choosing to follow the very ways of the Lord, because he wants to take you out of that. He wants to take us out of that and move us into this journey. And we have the opportunity right now to change. Because our decision as a follower of Christ, our decision as a church body, will determine where we're going to be, the direction we're going to go in these next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. So my plea, my encouragement and my challenge to us is this. God is calling us to move. Let us move. But give up your identity and let God shape and mold you. Realize you are not living to be a blessing to yourself, but to be a blessing to others. And you go all in. You go all in for the Lord. And let him lead and guide you every step of the way. May this message be a blessing to you this morning as you continue to live for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. I ask you, Father, that you continue to show me what it means to listen to your voice and not mine, and to follow through in your ways and not mine, and to realize that you are calling me, you're calling each one of us in your church to give up our identities, to realize you are calling us to be a blessing to others, not to ourselves, and to jump all in. We are full-blown committed to you. In that way, what we think is unknown, which is known to you, slowly but surely, you will show us more and more what that is. And then we come to realize, wow, we are actually in a place of redemption. We're in a place of restoration. We are in a place of reconciliation, all because of who you are, Lord. So even in this moment in time in history, Help us not to see it from our own eyes, but from yours. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.